If you would, turn in your Bibles to the last chapter of Hebrews. Cheryl, when did we start Hebrews? Come on, you marked it down. I know Cheryl marked it down. February 2012? There we go. Where were you in February the 19th, 2012? Right here, huh? You can't go through God's Word slow. To learn God's Word, it takes time. Because God gave us His Word, these letters, so that we can become better Christians. That's why when preachers preach 3 points in a poem and it's their own opinion, good luck. You have to preach the Word. You can't be in a hurry. But we've come to chapter 13. After all of that time, it won't be long now, and I think I've chosen the book that I will go into after it because it will parallel this and show you what happens in a church when you depart from following God's Word. This is the warning. Don't leave the new covenant. Let me show you what happens when, in a book of the Bible, they left. And the chaos that ensued. So in chapter 13, Paul is giving his final points that he wants to give these precious Christians who had left the synagogue and were following Jesus some final encouragements that he found very important. And don't think that these encouragements give something new. You know, the Bible doesn't always give something new. Did you know that? Sometimes we treat the Bible as a magic decoder ring that we are trying to discover something new. The genius of the Bible is it often gives what you know. But we forget. That's the hard part. We become so used to some things that the basics no longer matter. We forget them. Paul says in 13:1, the first thing before he's going to say goodbye is something that's very basic. It should be basic to all of Jesus' followers. He says, let love of the brethren continue. Nothing surprising about that. But let me ask you something. Some of you have been around to a lot of churches, seen a lot of things. I've been in the church all my life. You know what I would not characterize most of those churches as? Loving churches. Somebody tell me why that is. Love is the concrete floor of the church. What's been your experience at some churches? Jesus said that by this, all men will know that you're my disciples by the love displayed among the followers of Jesus. How's your experience been? Sometimes good, sometimes bad. What is significant is 13:1 being placed in a book that has dealt with the new covenant. Why would Paul, at this point, as he's wrapping up, suddenly turn from the New Jerusalem that we come to, and to come boldly before the throne of what he's just talked about. And suddenly, as he is summarizing, all of a sudden, he says, let love of the brethren continue. Well, what he's implying is this, that there's a lot of things in churches that try to choke off love. This particular group of precious people had been in the synagogue. They followed Jesus and left. And you all know what happened when they left. They lost everything. You know, when life is hard, you know what is most difficult to do? Ron, you got it right. It is very difficult to love when you're under fire. How many of you say, I'm always in a mood to be loving? All husbands and wives would never respond to that except to say that I have to tolerate my husband and I can't always be loving. Come on, ladies, isn't it true? Notice I don't pick on the men. They'll forgive me. I do not. When you're under stress, like these people were, you know what gets choked off? Love. Because there's something built into us of self-preservation, and it chokes off love. Now let's talk about why love is so important in the new covenant. Well, we've been in this book for a long time, and there's one thing very clear. When you think of Moses, you think of law, right? When you think of the old covenant, you think of Moses and law and the letter of the law and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And to be honest with you, I've seen most Christians love that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Lord, sick 'em. Jesus said you have to be very careful with that because the moment you say, Lord, get those people, the first one, Jesus said, you'll be judged by the same standard that you judge other people. Are you telling God to sick everybody? Get them, Lord! Better be careful. The same standard you are harsh with other people. Jesus said, you better listen to what Jesus said. The same standard of judgment you put on other people, you will be judged by. Guess what? I have low standards. And we looked at the new covenant. And when you think of the new covenant, the one word that should come to it is love. For God so loved the world. Think of Moses, think law. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Remember, the law was good. It was holy. What did it do? It taught us our need of Jesus, our need of forgiveness. It could never save. Under the new covenant, we've been learning about in the book of Hebrews that Jesus inaugurated the new covenant and canceled out the old. And if you could summarize the new covenant by one word, the old covenant is law, the new covenant is love. See, that needs to be teased out. In the old covenant, there was no ability to keep the law. So all it did was frustrate you, teach you you're a sinner, and you had no power to keep it. But when Jesus came, in Ezekiel 36, we learned something in the book of Hebrews. When Jesus came, he inaugurated the new covenant. What does the new covenant do? It gives you a new heart, a new nature. Now, that new nature is described in various ways in the New Testament. 1 Peter talks this way about that new covenant. 1 Peter 1:22 and 23, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another. Why? Because you have been born not of seed which is imperishable, but of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. What can the new birth be compared to? It is a seed. How many of you say, preacher, I'm perfected in love? You ever come across a Christian you think is totally perfected in love? That's because the new covenant, when God's nature is placed within us, that new nature is a seed. It is implanted. And it's got to grow. No wonder he says, let love of the brother continue, because guess what? Have you seen the water shortage lately? Have you seen the pictures of California up north, of the water gone, everything dry? Well, guess what's going to happen if you don't nurture the seed of the new birth? It'll dry up. That's why it's a seed. And one of the characteristics of the seed is that it produces God's love, for the Bible says, God is love, therefore His children display what? Now let me show you where John says that. 1 John says this, they always tie in love and that seed. 1 John 4 says this, 4:7, beloved, love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God. How do you know you're born again? You have a seed. How do you know you're born again? How's your love life? That's the direct measure of whether you've truly experienced the new birth. By the way, Jesus not only said, love your friends, but love your... Boy, isn't that hard to do? That's why churches need to get up and pray for all of those precious terrorists. Why? Because Jesus said to love your enemies. Jesus' followers, as hard as it is, because the new covenant gives us His nature, and God is love, one of the marks of being born again is, guess what? The display of love. You say, well, Pastor Dave, we know this, but let me ask something. We know this, but are we really aware of it? How's your love life? Let love of the brethren continue implies in the original that something was choking it off and they needed to give it attention again. Let love of the brethren continue. If you love, you're born of God and know God. The one who does not have the habit of love does not know God. You know, that's what kills me about some Christians. They're so worried about law that they neglect love. Paul says, love is the fulfilling of the law. I have theologians in my field that write thousands of pages on the subject of what is the relationship of the believer to the law. And you'll get 70 schemes to Sunday about how they view what should I do in relationship to the law. Paul answered that. Love is the what? fulfilling of the what? Law. You want to know what you should concentrate on? Ask yourself a simple question. In the difficulties of life, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And two, Lord, help my love life in figuring out what would love do in this circumstance. Now, that doesn't mean love always has to be, will you do what you want? Would you let your kid play on the freeway? Would you let your kid get into some things you know would harm them? But the simple question that New Testament, New Covenant believers must ask themselves is this. What would love do? Not, is there a commandment for that? But what would love do? It's a very simple question, simplified in the New Testament. Love is the fulfillment. Look what John reminded us. Beloved, since God is love and we are His children, we are obligated to love one another. Isn't it difficult to love some Christians, though? How many of you have said, I've never met a Christian that I didn't love? I've met some real pips. You want the preacher to confess some sin to you? It is very difficult to love some people who profess to know Jesus. Some people are just naturally not likable. And then you have to deal with that, you know, well, I don't like him, but I have to love him. Well, that's difficult, isn't it? But here Paul in Hebrews knows that in the difficulties these believers were going through, the one thing that should not be choked out was the very basic foundational principle of any Christian. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, how? By the love you have for one another. It means it should be the characteristic expression of God's people. How's the church doing? How do you think the church is doing? Let's grade the church. Not ours, but just the God's professing church as a whole. How is it doing? Cheryl, you were hurt in churches. Come on, there's somebody here that was hurt, Cheryl, just like you. I know I can pick on you. Were some of those churches that you attended very loving, Cheryl? That's why I like our little... They talked love, but didn't walk love. And what did you do as a result of that? You were raised in the church. I can identify with that. What happened, Cheryl? Come on, help somebody. See what can happen? And I'll bet you none of those people ever fully realized the damage they were doing to people. Do you know churches can damage people? I have that great fear for my kids that being in a church, that if there isn't love displayed as the characteristic of that church, that they could be damaged. Do you know more preachers' kids? The statistics of preachers' kids not attending church. Why do you think that is? I know of a kid who was a seminary student who, when he was 11 years of age and his brother was 8, the deacons at a Baptist church beat down the door of the parsonage and were going to beat up his dad because They didn't like something that he did. And as I sat and saw that kid go through seminary, I thought, well, that's a testimony of God's drawing that kid, because I'll tell you something, if that they have done that to my dad, I don't know if I would have darkened the door of a church. So this morning is a very basic sermon. A success of a church is not measured in terms of how many cars. But aren't we that way? I know many go by churches with a lot of cars and go, wow, there must be something going on there. Maybe not. In God's eyes, the church is pleasing not by remodeling. We're going to paint the outside of the church, by the way. Did you know that? It's going to do it. As soon as Steve gets back from camp, when it gets cooler. It's not by the way the niceness of the church will look on the outside. It's how people are with one another. Let love of the brethren not be choked off. So the next time sister so-and-so or brother such-and-such drives you crazy, name one person in the church that you say has never driven you crazy. Come on. You know, that's what I like about our little church. For the most part, the people we've gotten here, we put up with each other, don't we? I mean, yeah, I can say that. You got a crazy pastor, you put up with me. And that's what Paul is saying here when it's all done. He's talked about the new covenant, and the thing that must characterize the new covenant more than anything, those who follow Jesus and are part of the new covenant that these people left to follow Jesus was, let love of the brethren continue and not get choked off. So the next time you're in a meeting and there's a difference of opinion as to what to do, let love of the brethren continue.